If you have your Bibles today, and I hope and pray that you do, open them up to the book of Ezekiel, Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 37, and this is a very familiar story to some of you, maybe. And we're going to read. Of course, I'm going to give you just a few minutes to turn there, Ezekiel chapter 37. While you're turning there, let me just say to you, I love you. I think every pastor needs to be loved by a church the way you love me. And I thank you so much for that. I don't take that for granted one bit. And I know it, I know it, I know it that it's genuine. And I thank you for it. Thank you so much for your love for me. Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to read a good portion of this. And then we're going to get into the sermon. You're going to find out why I had you move a while ago. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and your flesh will come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breath, enter into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them and prophesy to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Amen. Ezekiel was taken by the Spirit. Of course, this is, many scholars will say this is a vision. Some scholars still claim that it was a physical, took him to a physical place. But nonetheless, the Spirit took him to a place, right? Sometimes we need to make a physical change in order to get a new perspective on things. I've titled this sermon, and it looks like it's going to turn into more than one sermon. Perspectives, okay? Perspectives. Today I'm talking about a physical perspective. Sometimes we need a fresh physical perspective. That's why I had you move a while ago, okay? Sometimes we say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Anybody ever said that? Oh, you're telling me a story. I'll believe that when I see it. The problem is that we seldom put ourselves in a position to see it. We say, I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm not going to even look. I'm going to sit over here with my eyes closed. Oh, Thomas, you remember Thomas? What did he say? Basically said that the Lord's risen. Oh, I'll believe that when I see it. Okay? Did he believe? When he saw it, he certainly did. It was amazing because he said, not until I see and touch and put my hand in the nail prints in his hand and put my hand in his side where the spear went in. Not until I do that will I believe. Well, then when he saw Jesus Christ, did he need to do all that? No. He fell at his feet. He fell at his feet. Before a month ago, many of you know I just got back from Israel, and it was a great trip. But before we went, about a month ago, when I read the Bible, I had these images of what I was reading in my mind. Well, but then when we got to Israel, and I recalled these stories and these places that I was reading about, it gave me a whole new and a fresh perspective on things. When I read about Jesus leaving Jerusalem and crossing the Kidron Valley and going up onto the Mount of Olives, I had this picture in my mind that it was, you know, a half day's journey that he, you know, had to go and cross this wide, vast valley and way climb, this treacherous climb up to the top of a Mount of Olives and then went out there. But in reality, we're talking about a matter of a few hundred yards. I didn't realize that until I was standing there. And they said, you're standing on the Mount of Olives, and there's Jerusalem. And that little dry gully down there is the Kidron Valley. It was completely different than I had imagined it. Okay? Way different. The Mount of Olives is more just like a hill. Okay? Maybe not even much taller than Dolan Hill right here. Did the principle that I have in my mind before I went to Israel, did the principle of what I read change? No, but I have a new perspective on it based upon my experience. Sometimes we have to get out of our current place to gain a different vantage point, right? If you're looking for, let's just say you're on guard. Let's just say we were under attack and you were on guard. Where would you want to be so that you could see the enemy if they were coming? You'd want a high vantage point. You'd want to get up so you can see farther. You need a different perspective, right? Than huddled down in a trench somewhere. You need to get up higher and get a different perspective so you can see what's going on. Sometimes a fresh perspective can reveal that what we thought before we gained that new perspective may actually be inaccurate, right? Sometimes when we get out and we get up and we get a different view on it, we go, oh, wow. I was mistaken because what I had thought before is now maybe a little inaccurate, and now I have a better vantage point and I can see a little better now, okay? Not always. Sometimes that new vantage point acts as confirmation. We look at it from a different angle and we say, oh, wow, that's great. It just confirms what I had believed all along and what I thought looking at it from this way. Now it's a confirmation. Now I really believe that to be true. Before we started this morning, I asked you to change seats, to move away from what may have been very familiar and very comfortable to you. I wanted you to physically experience a fresh perspective this morning, to see things maybe from a different angle. To some of you, that was no big thing at all. And I know that to some of you, that was really asking a lot. And I appreciate you participating with that, in that with me. I really do. My point is that it often takes a physical movement in order to get a fresh perspective on things. Personal experience is the key to gaining an accurate perspective on most things. Would you agree? Sometimes we can tell the story that we've been told, but how much better is it than when we tell the story that we've actually experienced, right? Perspective. I'm telling you from my perspective, not from somebody else's perspective. It's a different perspective. Why is it important for us to get a fresh perspective? Why is it important for us to get a fresh perspective? Why is it important for us to maybe move, see things from a different angle? Why is that important for us? Is it important? I believe it's very important. And I will tell you that an experience with Jesus should change your perspective on life, should it not? Should it not? An experience with Jesus should change your whole perspective on life. Before Jesus Christ, what was life? Here and now. After Jesus, what is life? Oh, yeah, I remember it. I'll never forget this till my dying day. What my sweet and precious mother-in-law told my wife one time. She was down in the dumps. I don't even remember about what, but it doesn't matter. She was kind of down, and she was kind of whining to her mom a little bit. And her mother, Jean Driver, said this, "Oh, baby, it's only life. It's only life." You don't get that perspective without Jesus Christ. You don't get that perspective without Jesus. Because the truth is, this is only life. There is more yet to come. There is more yet to come. And if you don't have that perspective, then this life is all there is. So you think. It's not. No matter whether you know Jesus or not, this life is not all there is. Okay, I must tell you, in case you don't know, that if you do know Jesus Christ, you have a life, an eternity with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, you still have an eternal life, but it's more like an eternal death away from God, away from Jesus. We call that hell. It's real. There's really a heaven, and there's really a hell. An experience with Jesus should change your perspective on life. And let me just tell you this. I believe that if you may say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I've had an experience with Jesus Christ. I know Him." But your life is not changed. Your perspective on life is not changed. You must ask, "Did I really have an encounter with Christ?" Because you cannot stay the same with Jesus. You cannot stay the same. A fresh perspective. Instead of reading the Scripture to see what God said to those people of old, when we read this, we don't read this about what God said to Ezekiel and what He was saying to the nation of Israel, that He was going to rise them up and bring them up. And we don't read it as just history. When you read the Bible, it's not just history. Don't read it to see what God said to those people. Read it and say, "God, what are You saying to me right here today where I am? How does this fit me?" And surely you can sit there and say, "Well, you know what? My bones have been kind of dry lately. Maybe they have been dry. And maybe I can take the word of the Lord, what God said to Ezekiel for the nation of Israel, and I can let that be true in my life. And God can raise me up. He can breathe a new, fresh breath of the Holy Spirit into me, and I can come alive." He can do that. God created us physical creatures, did He not? He didn't make us just spirit. Why did He make us physical creatures? To do physical things. To do physical things. We can experience Him physically. We can experience healing physically. We can experience love, compassion physically. We can be comforted physically. We can experience God in a very real physical way, not just spiritually. That's coming next week. We're talking about physical today. Okay? Surely you know that you can experience God in spirit, right? But I'm telling you today, God made us physical creatures. We can experience God in a very physical and real, tangible way. Time and time again, throughout the Bible, God tells people. He shows them things physically. He says, "Look around." He told Abraham, "Look at the sky. Count the stars." "Lord, I can't." "Well, then look at the sand. Count the grains of sand." "Lord, I can't." He said, "Your descendants are going to be more than that." He told him. He said, "Look around." He's always telling somebody to look around somewhere. Look to the sky. Look to the stars. Look at the sheep. You know, his parables were often directed at things around him. Look at the birds. Look at the birds. Look at the sheep. Look around. Look at the temple. You see the temple? Not one stone. Remember what he said? Not one stone is going to be left stacked upon the other. To be destroyed and rebuilt. He was talking about a different temple than they were thinking about. But in other words, I think God wants us to get our focus off of ourselves and begin to see other things that God wants you to see and focus on. A lot of times when we're focused on us and me and mine and my issues and my problems and my victories, but when we're focused on that, we're not seeing what else God is doing. We're not seeing where else God is working. We're not seeing, getting confirmation about how that not only is that true for me, but it's also true for somebody else. We need to get a fresh perspective. We need to back off a little bit, change our angle, right? Move to the other side of the sanctuary, whatever it means, to get a fresh perspective. And you know what? Sometimes that's uncomfortable. How many of you were a little uncomfortable with changing seats this morning? Nobody? I will confess that I was, because I'm in a habit of standing right here. It was different over here. Was it better or worse? Well, no. It was just different. Sometimes we need to shake up just a little bit, just to freshen things up and get a little different and fresh perspective. Paul says this. He says, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We need to get a fresh perspective, a strengthened focus. A lot of times, our perspective is this, okay? This is life, and this is what's happening in front of me. A lot of times, our perspective is this. We're so focused on what has happened. We're so focused on what's back there behind us. We're so focused on who hurt me. We're so focused on what I did that was so bad that I'll never get forgiveness for it. We get so focused on all this garbage and junk back here that we forget that we're living life here and we're going forward. And I think God wants to tell us, get your right perspective. Turn loose of that stuff back there. Turn around. Y'all know what that you know what repent is, right? Maybe he's telling us, get a repentant perspective. Quit looking back here, repent, turn around, and put your eyes forward. Like Paul said, strain forward towards the goal. I press on because there's a prize up there, and I'm going to win it. I'm going to win that prize. It's not back there. It's up here, and I'm headed this way. Change our perspective. Does it mean that everything I believed is wrong? Oh, no, 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 no. Does it mean that everything I believed was right? Not necessarily. It's just a different look. It's just a different look. Sometimes, like I said a while ago, sometimes what's been true will be confirmed, and sometimes what we thought was true, when we look at a different angle, we can say, oh, wait a minute. Now that I see things a little differently, and I can see things from a little better angle, I can see that maybe I've misunderstood something here, because now I see it from this angle. And now I see what is really true, and I need to adjust what I believed before in some things. That's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable to call into, not necessarily call into question, but to allow our beliefs to be either confirmed or open for adjustment. You know, just because you believe something doesn't make it true. Right? There's a song. I believe I can fly. Guess what? I really can't. No matter how much I believe it. Now, some of you will say, well, if you get in an airplane, you're flying. You know what I'm talking about. I can't go out there and flap my arms fast enough to get my feet up off the ground. Okay? Then what you believe doesn't make it true. But we need to be believing in the truth. We need to be believing in the truth. And sometimes it takes a fresh perspective. God has told people all throughout the Bible to move, to go, get up, do something, go somewhere. He told Abraham, he said, go to a place. Where, Lord? I'll show you. Just go. Go to a place and I will show you. Packed up his stuff and went. Abraham's spiritual encounter did not happen until he obeyed physically. Did you hear that? This is good stuff. You need to write this down if you take notes. His spiritual encounter with God did not happen until he obeyed physically. Why would we be different than Abraham? I believe somebody in this room needs to hear that you need to move physically. You need to do something physically in order to experience God in a spiritual way. I don't know exactly what that is for you. I'm finding out some of the things that it is for me. But I'm willing to do that. I'm open to do that. I'm willing to get out of what's familiar and comfortable for me, because I believe God has something He wants to show me. I believe God has something He wants me to experience. And I'm not going to experience that if I just stay where I am. If I just stay where I am. The disciples were told what? He told them to go. Right before Jesus went back to heaven, He said, go. Go. Where? Go ye therefore into all the world. Right? Go. Had those guys stayed in what was familiar for them, they would have all died a premature death because persecution was coming. Right? Persecution is what actually drove them out of Jerusalem. They had to scatter. And because they did that, because they moved, because they went, they changed the world. Amen. The message they took changed the world. As they went with power. And God changed the world. There's an old saying. You've heard it many times. If you keep on doing the same thing the way you've always done it, expect to get the results you've always got before. Right? And sometimes we think that if we'll just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it the same way, that things are going to change. Right? Well, I like donuts. If I just keep eating donuts, maybe the hole in the middle that I'm not eating is going to make me skinny. Good luck with that. Don't eat a donut with a hole in it. Fill it up with some jelly. Those are the best kinds of things to eat. I'm getting some amens from the back. No, we think that that's going to work. We think, well, no, wait a minute. I failed. It didn't happen. Let me try it again. I'm not going to change anything. I'm going to do it the same way. Same way. Oh, there we are again. You know, if you drive, if you're trying to get from here to Cleveland and you don't want to stop at the bridge that they're working on, you might want to take a different route. Okay? Because chances are you're going to be stopped at that 5-minute stoplight at the bridge. It's not going to change from one day to the next. Well, maybe today's different. Maybe today they miraculously fixed it overnight, and I'm not going to have to stop there. Guess what? You're going to have to stop there. Either coming or going, I almost guarantee you're going to have to stop there. Doing the same thing over and over and over. I've told you before, too, that my high school basketball coach had this saying. He told us, he said, they will tell you that practice makes perfect, and that's a lie. Only perfect practice makes perfect. You can practice the wrong thing over and over and over again, and when it comes time to perform, you're going to do it wrong. The same way, if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, and we expect the different results, somebody has said one time somewhere that that's what the definition of insanity is. Don't be insane. Just get a fresh perspective. Speaking of go, I love this. I love this story. You remember the blind man and Jesus healed his eyes? Remember how he did that? He picked up, he spat in the ground. If you read the King James, he said he made some spittle. Took some spittle and mixed it with the dirt. It means he spat, made some mud, smeared it on the guy's eyes. Can you imagine what he was thinking? Oh, my Lord. Is that sanitary? He couldn't see what he was doing. He just heard this. He put mud on his eyes. Then what happened? Did his eyes open up? Did scales fall off his eyes and he could see? And was like, wow, thank you, Lord. No. Jesus then told him, he said, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did that, what happened? He could see. He could see. I love it. They brought him up and said, did he heal you? What? Tell me about this guy, this Jesus. He did this to you. And, you know, he wasn't supposed to do this. And he said, look, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I can just tell you that I once was blind, and now I see. I once had a dark perspective, Now I have a whole fresh perspective because I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And if you will answer the call to move, to go, to do something, you will have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And you will come out on the other end with a different perspective. Perspective matters. Perspective is important. Where are you willing to go? What are you willing to do in order to see God move? It's a little uncomfortable. We talked Sunday night, sometime in the back. That's back there. I press on toward the goal. I forget what's behind me. But some time ago, I talked about us being comfortable. And I asked, what is comfort? And, you know, lots of things that we're comfortable with. We like comfort. Is there anybody in the room that does not like comfort? Okay. We all like comfort, whether it's a comfortable blanket, sitting by a comfortable fire, comfort food, whatever's comfortable, we like comfort. But that's not what God's called us to be. He's not called us to be the Dolan Comfort Baptist Church. He's not called us to be comfortable in our relationship with Him. He's called us to be secure, yes. But He's not called us to sit rest on our laurels, to sit back and say, well, I've accomplished all there is. Now I'm saved. I know I've got heaven. Whew. Done. Now I'll just kind of live out the rest of my life and know that I've got my ticket punched. And that's not what God's called us to do. That's not the kind of church that God's called us to be. That's not the relationship God has called us into. He's called us into uncomfortableness. How do you respond to that? A lot of times we sit back and say, no, wait a minute, God. That's not part of the deal that I made with you. And God was like, I'm not in the business of making deals. I gave you everything I had. That's what I expect back in return. Get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to do something. Be willing to be someone. Be willing to go somewhere because God will bless you and He will open your eyes to a whole new perspective on things. For some of you here today in this room, it may be in a moment when we have the invitation, getting up out of your seat and moving to the altar and getting right before God saying, God, I've been stingy with my time. I've been stingy with my efforts. I've been stingy with my money. I've been stingy with, Lord, forgive me. I want a fresh perspective. I'm willing to move. And maybe that's the first move you need to make, is the move to the altar this morning. Maybe you need to move to this church. Like I tell our visitors, I'm not trying to steal people from other churches. I don't want to do that. But if you don't have a church, if you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and God is calling you to move. To move from, just like the blind man, move from, I was blind, but now I see. When he was blind, he didn't know what blue, black, red, green, fuchsia. I don't think they didn't have fuchsia invented back then, did they? Okay, mauve. He didn't know what those colors were. He didn't know what bright, what dark was. Everything was dark to him. He didn't know. He couldn't see. His perspective was very, very limited. But now he can see. He knows that the sky is blue in the daytime. It's black at nighttime. That dirt is brown. Or black if you're in Beaumont. He knows that rocks have different colors, right? Fish, he knows what they look like. His eyes have been opened. Oh, my friend, don't you want your eyes to be opened? I will tell you, chances are they're not gonna be unless you move, unless you act in obedience and get up and do something. Fresh perspective, a physical perspective. Next week we're going to talk about spiritual perspective. But I will tell you that this is the foundation, because next week we're going to find out that you're not going to get that spiritual perspective. You're not going to get a fresh spiritual perspective without doing something physical. Maybe God's calling you to move. I'm not saying pick up your household and move there. Maybe he is, but that's not my call to you. That's you have to understand what God's telling you. But I guarantee you, God is not telling anybody in this room, you've done enough, you've gone far enough, just lay low. I will guarantee you, God is not in the business of telling people just to quit. God is telling us, we need to do something. We need to be something. We need to be doing more than what we're doing. We need to be doing different than what we're doing, maybe. But we need to be doing something. Get a fresh perspective. We ought to look at all of our ministries that we're doing. We ought to back up, move over, look at whatever we're doing and say, is this serving people? Is it in accordance with what our goal and our mission of the church is? And if it is, great. If it's not, either fix it or can it. Maybe there's a hole that needs to be filled there. Maybe we're not doing something that God's called us to do. We need to get a fresh perspective on that, see how it's not affecting people, and get involved in that. That's what he's called us to do, people. He's called us to not rest. He's called us to work. And there's uncomfortable. Some of us don't want to work. But that's what God's called us to do. When he's called us and he's told us, move, go somewhere, do something, be someone, and we kick back and we say, no, that's not for me, Lord, then we're quenching the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're never going to get a fresh perspective. We're never going to get a deeper understanding of who God is and how he wants to work in our lives. Don't forget, that this is only life. We're working towards something that is of eternal value, something that goes on and lasts forever and ever and ever. And if you will understand that, that was so impactful for me. It was life-changing for me. What even said to me was said to my wife, but I've taken it as mine now. It's only life. Once we look at our life with that kind of perspective, what have I got to lose? What have you got to lose? Your life? Not hardly. Eternal life just begins. Actually, your eternal life has already begun if you know Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, oh, my friend, you come talk to me today. I want to introduce you to the man that can change all of eternity for you, who will give you a fresh perspective, open your eyes, allow you to see things from a new angle. We've got to be obedient physically before God will bless us spiritually. I believe that with all my heart, folks. What are we willing to do? There's the question. What are we willing to do? I've challenged you by just changing seats. Now, next week, you all may be back in your regular seats and whatever. That's fine. This was just an exercise to show us that sometimes we just need to move a little bit. Did anybody see things from a different angle today? Did things look a little different to you? Okay. Maybe that's all God wants to do. Just allow you to get a different angle so you can affirm what has happened before or what you've experienced or what you believed in. Maybe God wants to show you a different angle so that your eyes will be opened to say, you know what? What I thought was wrong really is scriptural. It's okay. Whatever whatever's going on in your head right now, I know that God is telling you to do something. God's telling you to move, to go somewhere, to give something, to be something, to do something, give of yourself something. What are you going to do? What are you going to answer? Either, here am I, send me, here am I, use me, here I am, I will be obedient to you, or nope, not me, count me out. There's no in-between, folks. You can't just say, well, not right now. If your child comes up to you and says, can I have a popsicle? And you say, not right now. What do they hear? No. You tell God, not right now. It's the same thing as you're telling him, no. No. Maybe later, but no, not right now. No. Don't do that. Don't do that. God He'll do something miraculous in your life if you'll let him. If you'll let him. And sometimes what that means is you have to physically put yourself in a different place for God to honor that and to bless that spiritually. What are you willing to do this morning? That's the question. What are you willing to do? Some of you need to move to the altar. Some of you may want to join the church. Some of you need to come to Jesus Christ for the very first time. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. We're not going to tarry long. We're not going to be here forever. They're cooking, getting lunch ready back there in the back. We're going to go have lunch in a minute. But I cannot close this service without giving you an opportunity to do just what I've been preaching to you about, to move, to move. Step out of what we know and what we've become comfortable in. Maybe go into a little bit of uncharted territory. Test it out. Check it out. Oh, do that. Give it a, come on in. The water's fine. You don't know that until you dip your toes in the water. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing a song. We're going to move. I'm going to pray for us before we ever begin doing anything. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the blessings of it. Lord, I thank you for the challenges of it. I thank you for each person gathered in this room. And Father, and I pray that as your word has been spoken, Father, that I pray that each person has heard not from my voice, but from the Holy Spirit, Father, exactly what you want each and every person to hear. I know that when I speak the words, that you can change those words and you can affect and make them better and you can pull and tug at people's hearts. And Father, I pray that we would be responsive to that, that we would respond to the call you place in our lives to go somewhere, to do something, to be someone. Father, may we be faithful to you and be willing to move in Jesus' name. Amen.